Glory to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Blessed feast.
Blessed
feast. Spraznikom. Spraznikom. Kronyopola. Kronyopola. Whatever the feast, it's the when you say blessed feast, you repeat blessed free feast, so it's the same thing in each language. What a joy. This feast is really amazing. I'm truly blessed that Father George asked me to preach tonight, and very humbled. I've always wanted to preach on the Theotokos, and I've never had the opportunity. So by her prayers, may the Lord be glorified this evening. First, I would like to open by talking about the prophecies. These are some of my favorite prophecies for the Theotokos. They're just amazingly powerful. The first, with Jacob, she is seen as in the image of the ladder that goes from earth to heaven, and the angels ascend and descend upon it. And later in the prophecy, it is also referred to as the gate. Jacob says this is the gate of heaven. And the Theotokos is seen as the ladder by which Christ descended from heaven to earth, and the ladder by which mankind has been raised to heaven. She is the gate that opened that for all of us. That's such a beautiful prophecy. The second one, likewise, speaks of the gate, the east gate, by which only the Lord comes through. This speaks to her ever virginity and her only giving birth one time to the Lord and never to any other child, because the gate was used only once by the Lord. And in the last prophecy, she is referred to as the table on which the bread of life is laid. And that is because she bore God in her womb. And as we know, when we receive the Eucharist, we receive the bread of life. So what great, tremendous words to encourage us to anticipate the Theotokos. And then in her life and during her life, she was the greatest example to us of someone with the virtues that are most divine of all of the virtues that we can possibly have as human beings. The first and primary one is humility. She had such tremendous humility throughout her life. Obviously, when she was young and she was living in the temple and the archangel Gabriel was bringing her food from heaven, she was humbled by all of this experience, as anyone would be. Could you imagine? Just an incredible experience for her, and to be in the first in the glory of God in the Holy of Holies in the temple, and then to be fed by angels. But when the archangel Gabriel comes to her at the Annunciation, he says to her that she is going to bear God, and she, you know, at first kind of says, well, how can this be? How can I bear a child? I've never known a man. And he says that the child will be of the Holy Spirit. And what is her response? Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done unto me according to your word. May we see in her the humility that we, by God's grace, by the end of our life, maybe possess a little bit of. She had so much humility, and it was just is absolutely amazing. Reading her life, there's this wonderful book, The Life of the Theotokos. It's an amazing thing. It's amazing work. The fathers have commentary throughout it. And the second thing that she possesses that we really need to possess, in addition to humility, is repentance. And I think oftentimes we think of repentance as a momentary thing. You know, it could be moment to moment because we have to repent. You know, each circumstance that comes up where we sin, we need to go to confession. We see that as our repentance. And so, you know, maybe it's confession to confession that we repent. But quite literally, repentance for us is literally moment to moment. It is this moment to the next moment. Because we can sin in our thoughts in an instant. We can sin in our actions in an instant. So we have to be constantly watching ourselves and be attentive and watchful for the temptations of the evil one, even the temptations of ourselves, our own flesh, the things that we're most attracted to and distracted by. We need to be attentive and watchful over these things. These are all words that the fathers use throughout their teachings of watchfulness and attentiveness. And we do that by being in prayer as much as we possibly can. But the Theotokos lived that. To our knowledge, the Theotokos lived a life without sin. Now, that does not mean that she was sinless, because we don't know. But we believe that she was, because she lived such a holy life, her entire life. And so the only way that you can do that is if you are living that life of constant repentance. Repentance is turning towards God, constantly turning towards God. So if you think about that, well, if I'm moving towards God, how do I turn towards God? Well, it's because we're constantly being pulled away. We're constantly being distracted, side to side. So we have to constantly repent and turn back to the Lord. It's something that never ceases. And the last of her blessed virtues is obedience. As I mentioned earlier, when Gabriel said to her, "You will bear the Son of God," she said, "Be it done unto me according to thy word." And every part of her life was obedience to her husband, when they took the child, the baby Jesus, to Egypt, to Christ, when he was even a young man, and she and Joseph went and found him in the temple teaching with the elders. You know, where else would I be but get teaching my father's word? She was humbled by that, and she lived that throughout her whole life, that humility, that repentance, that obedience to God. At the cross, you will remember the conversation, if you will, between Christ and St. John, when he says, "Son, behold your mother. Mother, behold your son." And St. John was obedient to that, as was the Theotokos. And in that act, Christ was giving all who believe in her son Jesus to her as sons. And he was giving to all of those sons her as a mother. So she is our mother as she was given to St. John. She was also given to us. So she is truly someone that we need. I remember Andrew, Father Andrew, when he was giving a homily one time, saying how it was something that took him so long in his life to get to the place where he realized he had to come to know the Theotokos better. And unfortunately, it is a long process for a lot of us. But we as people, I encourage you all, pray to the Theotokos. Read the Akathist hymn. Read the canons to the Theotokos, both the small canon and the great canon. They're just incredibly beautiful. And we miss out on so much because we don't take the time to stop and just read these, much less pray them. But even in reading them, in a form, we are praying. So I really encourage us to reach out to her and get a relationship going with the Theotokos. It's just, her life is amazingly beautiful. I've already gone far too long, but I wanted to also talk just a little bit about her Dormition. First off, she foreknew when she was going to die. She had asked the Lord if she could know beforehand because she wanted to fully prepare herself, like she needed preparation, but she wanted to know so she could be fully ready. She also asked that the holy apostles be brought to her so that they could be there when she died. And as we know, they were all mystically transported on a cloud and brought to her a day or two before her repose. And she told them that she was going to repose when they arrived and why they were there. She was also given by the Archangel Gabriel, when he brought the word to her that three days before she was going to die, he came to her and he brought an olive branch from heaven. And it shone very brightly. It had the light of glory upon it. And she showed it to the apostles. And she told them that they were to lead the procession of her burial, holding that. And then that would be buried with her. At the appearance of the Lord, he came to receive her soul. If you look at the icon, you can see the Lord standing above holding a little baby. And that is the Lord taking her soul, which was as pure and as innocent as that of an infant child. She had never been defiled. And at the appearance of the Lord, the apostles were tremendously humbled and they bowed at her feet and they were kissing her feet and reverencing her. And they asked her to pray for the world. And so she prayed this prayer. O God, who through thy great goodness has sent from heaven thine only begotten Son to dwell in my humble body, who wast deigned to be born of me, humble as I am, have mercy upon the world and every soul that calls upon thy name. O Lord, King of the heavens, Son of the living God, accept every man who calls upon thy name, that thy birth may be glorified. O Lord Jesus Christ, who art all powerful in heaven and on earth, in this appeal I implore thy holy name in every time and place where there is made a mention of my name, make that place holy and glorify them that glorify thee through my name, accepting from such persons all their offerings and all their supplications and all their prayers. That's what she does for us. She prays that constantly. She died a very peaceful and painless death. She was processed to Gethsemane, where she was to be buried. During the procession, a Jewish priest named Athanios, tried to knock the body of the Most Holy Theotokos out of the bier. And as soon as he touched the bier, his hands were cut off at the elbow. And he fell to the ground. And the procession stopped. And he was screaming and crying, you know, what has happened, you know. And St. Peter comes over to him, kind of consoling him, right? Poor guy. Well, You know, and then he helps him up and he says, you must repent for your actions because you have offended God. You have touched something that is so holy that you don't understand what it is. And he, being enlightened by the grace of God in that moment, repented fully. And he fully confessed Christ out loud. And when he had done that and had apologized to the Theotokos, he was brought over to the bier and he was told to put his arms, his stubs, back up at the arms, and they were mystically reattached with just a line showing where they had separated. And he was fully healed, body and soul. He repented and he was baptized a short time later. That's just one of those neat little stories. And her burial and her resurrection, all the apostles were brought to her except for St. Thomas, who a special blessing was reserved for him because he was brought 3 days after her death, which she died on the Lord's Day, on Sunday, and he came on Tuesday, and he demanded that the tomb be opened so that he could reverence her most holy body. And when the tomb was opened, it was revealed that she had been resurrected already. And so she is the first among men to be resurrected fully. And she is in heaven, body and soul, praying for us at her son's right hand. By her prayers, may we be saved. To the glory of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.